I don't want to make this too personal, but this is a very important thing to me. I had a very good friend of mine die on Friday night going into Saturday in Chicago, named Leonore Draper. She had planned an anti-violence rally, and she attended that rally that she helped organize on Friday and died that night on her block, and we have no idea who shot her. We probably will never know who wound up shooting her. We hear all this stuff that goes on in Chicago and all these people who die, who lose their lives. On one hand, we lose the humanity because there's so many people that we don't think to personalize them. I just gave you the person. She and I were close enough that she put me in her husband's wedding party because of the level of close we are. These are people I've seen. I watched her grow into a person that would organize a rally like the one after which she died, right? All that stuff that's happening in Chicago is a byproduct of housing discrimination. I was talking to somebody today who would tell you there are large swaths of land in Chicago in between, like, the south suburbs and downtown, just on the south side, that people simply don't live in. Because in Chicago, when black people moved to that city from the south in the 1940s and 1950s, white people got the hell out of Dodge. They built a freeway system that ran through black neighborhoods, and the whole purpose of that freeway system was to get white people from the suburbs into their jobs safely without having to make any stops in between. That's what housing discrimination does. Housing discrimination is the biggest reason that we could point to historically for why we got all these dead kids in Chicago fighting for turf, fighting for real estate with poor accommodations and facilities and everything that you're supposed to have within the city, poor education, all of this, because the tax dollars and everything else decided to move away. And a lot of people like to use as a strategy to avoid that. It's like to find an apartment in one of those nice neighborhoods so then they can send their kids to nicer schools and have a chance for their kids to go somewhere in life. Instead, when you can't do that, you wind up in basically where like these neighborhoods that are created by apartheid, and they're desolate and they're dangerous and they're frightening, and we just have whole generations of people that we have given up on. And the biggest reason that this sort of thing has happened is because jackwagons like Donald Sterling make this decision that they do not want black people or Mexicans or anybody else living near these pristine white people who are trying like hell to get away from us, and then point at us and wonder why all your stuff is messed up. That's the stuff that Donald Sterling has been doing forever. Everybody talks about that settlement in 2009. He was originally sued in 2003 for this housing discrimination. In 2006, we got a hold of the paperwork where he says that black people smell and attract vermin and that Mexicans just sit around and drink all day. His wife was going around to those properties, knocking on the door like it's some Henry Ford stuff, and taking inspection, posing as though she worked for the government while she was tracking the ethnicities of the people who lived in their buildings. And you're going to come to me and talk about what's going on with Donald Sterling and his mistress? Are you kidding me? That stuff was real. That stuff matters. That stuff literally kills people. And everybody and their mom is so charged up about Donald Sterling. So I'm going to go to a funeral next week for somebody who took somebody else's bullet, because that city's become a war zone, and the people that have money and the people who could possibly do something to fix it ignore it and go to their homes in the south suburbs that for the last 70 years people have tried their damnedest to keep black people out of. But I'm supposed to get charged up because Donald Sterling said his rich friends don't want his black mistress to be around black people. People need to get their heads out their clavins and realize that this here is fun to talk about, but this is nothing. The real stuff that happened was that. So when all these guys get up here and stand on their soapbox and wag their fingers and start talking about, oh, we won't tolerate this racism, we won't tolerate what Donald Sterling said, what they're not tolerating about Donald Sterling is the fact that what he said was impolite and what he said was gauche. That's what their problem is. But when Donald Sterling was out here toying with people's lives on things that really matter, it matters of life and death, the media, the NBA, the sponsors, and all these people now who want to get patted on the back for what good people they are didn't say a mumbling word. They can all kiss my behind, every single one of them, because when we start looking at all these people in these lists who are dying as an economic byproduct of the people like Donald Sterling, and you now have a problem because, oh my God, he said something, they intimated that he doesn't respect his players, I'm calling you out as a fraud.
It cannot be said better than that anywhere. It is also dispiriting. It is. There's an element of it that's just totally dispiriting, Bomani, because this is going to be the news cycle and the noise cycle for the next, however long this lasts. And what you just said right there can't creep its way into the news cycle.
Well, we got to find a way, though, because the thing that people need to stop doing is people need to stop lying about their levels of concern about race. Look, I can live with the people every day who tell me I talk about race all the time and tell me I scream racism all the time, because they never say anything about when racism screams at me. When racism screams at me, I'm supposed to shut up and take it like a soldier, right? And if that's what you want, hey, I've gotten pretty far in life. Maybe that's the technique you think that I'm supposed to have, right? Maybe that's what it is. But when the real stuff happens, nobody has anything to be, not has anything to say. And if you were to ask people, what exactly did Donald Sterling say that intimated his own level of racism? A whole lot of people are going to have a hard time saying it. But then you go ask those people how many things they do so that they don't look like they like black people around their friends. What you think these people who get up on the internet and tell me stuff like, I normally don't agree with you, comma, but, dot, 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 you don't think that's what they're doing? What they're doing is saying, hey, this guy has a good point, but I don't want you to think for a second I'm out here agreeing with his crazy rabble-rouser, right? That's what people are doing out here all the time. They talk about this with the NBA. And they keep calling this a black league. This is an American league. So that's why you wind up with a columnist at the LA Times who said that if Donald Sterling has a problem with black people, he should go own a hockey team. What? Because it's supposed to be okay in hockey? So if you own a team over there, you can be racist and nobody cares about it? No. A whole lot of these people that want to act like they care about racism don't give a good damn about racism. What they care about right now is a chance to jump on an easy punching bag. But when I sit up here and Dan sits up here and other people sit up here and tell you about real things that are happening and try to break it down and make you explain to you and make you understand the things that you might not be able to recognize on your own, that someone with a more trained eye to these things could possibly help you with, you act like I'm inventing stuff. Well, now, 8 years after I wrote a column, that even my editors, when I wrote it, admitted that they didn't give it enough play when they put it up there. 8 years after I wrote that, now everybody wants to come around and hail me as having some amazing level of foresight for seeing this coming. I didn't see this coming. I saw this happen. So where the hell was everybody else when it was actually happening? They were out here trying to tell me that I was crazy about racism, but now you know it because Donald Sterling's mistress put out a tape and an 81-year-old man said, you're embarrassing me by coming to games with black people.
I got to go get Stu Gatz out of the parking lot. Thank you, sir.
No problem, man.